you so much for this opportunity to come before you, yielded, surrendered. Father, I'm asking you to speak through my mouth, think through my mind. I am yielding right now. I'm asking you to give us ears to hear, eyes to see. I'm asking for corporate anointing to be loosed in this place. Powerful. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for impartation and manifestations. Thank you, Lord, for showing us what to do. We purpose ahead of time to be obedient. Help us to see and understand your true nature. Father, I partner with what Tiana said. We want to change. We want to be transformed. We say, here we are, Lord. Look no further. Send me. I'll obey. I boldly declare insight in the house. And those who are watching online, I pray that the anointing is tangible and you grab hold of what heaven is doing. I declare heaven on earth. I declare the word of God will go forth unhindered or checked. The power of God will flow freely in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen and amen. We are in a series entitled Lord of the Harvest. Our subtitle for today's message is Certain Hope. What if you're really going to hell? What if what you're depending on is really unstable and unsure? What if your emotions are mastering your behavior? What if your life is founded on something that's not sure? What are you really certain of? What is your hope anchored in? What a real question. What if you are not who you are supposed to be? How do we know? How do we get to the point that we know and is founded and sure? Because if we're honest with ourselves, emotions can get out of hand. Emotions can drive us and lead us down a path that has nothing to do with God. If we're open and honest, it's a real question, and it should be settled forever. What are you certain of? Let's go to Job chapter 8 and verse 13. This is one of Job's friends giving a speech on what was taking place in his day. And one relevant hallmark that he describes is that there is hopelessness in the lives of those who have forgotten God. Job 8:13 says, "So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish." We see proof of that exact same hopelessness around us today. True or not true? If society generally forgets God and moves further away from him, the less hope people have. Is society moving away from God or towards God? Hope is in danger. Hopelessness is running rampant. I train a gentleman at the gym, and he showed me this article. In the last 4 months, the teenage society, there's been more suicides among teenagers in the last 4 months. And something just rose up on the inside of me. And I began to intercede for teenagers just across the nation. Because here's where we should stand, family. Not on my watch. That's where we should stand. We should rise up and say, no, you don't. Not today, devil. Because when God's people know their authority, that stuff doesn't go on. You and I wouldn't sit on our couch in our love seats, our little lazy boys, and allow a thief to walk in our house, look at us, grab something, and walk out. We have all kinds of holes in our walls that happen. We wouldn't do that. We would go off if somebody came in and stole our stuff. True or not true? True or not true? Don't allow the enemy to come and start stealing from you, around you. Allow the Spirit of God to rise up like never before. Don't allow that defeat. Here's the problem. The enemy is already defeated, and he is utilizing deception to get in people's lives. His only weapon is deception, and he's been effective. That's why truth is so key. That's why we need to stand on the Word of God and teach the truth of God's Word and speak the truth of God's Word everywhere we go. You know, we started this series, Lord of the Harvest, and one of the scriptures we'll go to is talking about sending laborers into the harvest. You and I need to be those laborers, those workers. You and I need to be going and looking and touching and being a part of salvation, deliverance, wholeness. Going forth, wherever you go, deliverance should happen. Wherever you go, light should flow out of you and touch those around you. So very key that we get to that point. Hopelessness needs to be dealt with. And you and I are the body of Christ is the only entity equipped to do so. You realize hope is coming from nowhere else. Look at somebody and say, it's you. It's you. You are the hope of the world. You know, I said, when society generally forgets God and moves further away from him, the less hope people have. The opposite is true. When society begins to move towards God, begin to trust in, rely on, return to God, hope begins to rise. Our subtitle is Certain Hope. The most hopeful people in the world are those who put God first. Raise your hand if you've decided to put God first. This is an interesting question that came to me when I was preparing for this. I'm going to ask you, how many people do you know totally sold out? Can you count them on one hand? I was blown away in my preparation time. I started searching the archives of my mind. I'm looking around. Oh, nope, he don't qualify. She was close. And I was troubled. How many people do you know totally sold out? God, what a horrific concept. Is it not time for laborers, for workers to go out and bring in the harvest? Dear God, people are putting their hope in so many different things. So many people are mastered by their emotions, situations, and circumstances. When people forget God, truth is minimized. Sin is glamorized. Wealth is idolized. Crime is sensationalized. And drugs are legalized. Is this not where we are? Dear God, is there not a cause? This type of atmosphere causes people to be demoralized and have no hope. Family, the harvest is plentiful. Will you be a laborer? Will you be a worker? This is not the type of series that you look back and say, oh, that's good. No, thank you. I appreciate that word. No, this is not that one. This is not that series. This series is where we say, okay, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I am going to advance the kingdom of God. I'm going somewhere to happen. My eyes are up. You know, some of us have an amazing relationship with our devices. Some of us are in tune. Some of us are one with our devices. How many people walk by us when we're in love with, fellowshipping with our devices? Here's my challenge. Look up, family. Look around you. Be that worker. Touch those you come in contact with. You and I must anchor our lives in certain hope. What is hope? First of all, hope is not optimism. Optimism is a person trying to convince themselves in a future in a positive way. We're not talking about positive affirmations. We're talking about certain hope. Now, even though that person is not convinced that it will happen, they continue that same cycle. They continue that optimism. They have an outlook that's not negative, and that's good. You know, we applaud them not being negative because, dear God, have you been around a negative person? At least they're not pessimistic. At least that's okay, but it's not Bible hope, not certain hope, and that's what we're looking to tap into. There are three types of hope. The first one is wishful hope. This is the hope that most people have. I wish I get that promotion. I hope I win the lottery. You know, I hope it works out. That's not what we're talking about. The second type of hope is expectant hope. Now, this hope is based on some sort of reality. You plant a seed, you hope that seed germinates and grows. You have a reason to hope. That's expectant hope. But then again, as much as it's better than wishful hoping, is not Bible hope. What we're talking about today is certain hope. Everybody say certain hope. This is hope that you can anchor your life to. Not just wishing or expecting, but knowing for certain that what you hope in is solid. How many of you want that? How many of you want that sure footing? The rest of you, just hang around. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Allow hope to rise up on the inside of you. But knowing for certain that what hope is something that you can depend on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance. What is substance? Substance is tangible. Can we agree with that? Substance. Now, faith is the substance. Now, faith is tangible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's evidence? Proof. Faith is tangible proof that what you're believing for exists. Certain hope is future unseen assurance. This hope is brought into the seen realm by faith. We can't have certain hope without faith. If there's nothing to hope for, there's nothing to believe for. That's why it's so important to have grace and faith balanced out. You can't have faith for something that hasn't been provided. So important to have that balance out. Certain hope gives us peace. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Where are you guys going? You know why I hand out notes and we provide notes online? Because it's not about you and I getting a good feeling coming to church and feeling good about coming to church. It's about discipleship. You know, and I take the time to prepare the notes because I am believing God that each one will reach one. I'm believing God that the Word of God will get into us so much that it spills out of us and we begin to disciple somebody else. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. How many people need peace right now? Romans 5, let's read that together. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So very critical. Certain hope gives us stability. Certain hope gives us stability, something to anchor our lives on. How many of you know that when you can trust in something, you function a little differently? It's so true. Certain hope allows us to have a real foundation. Colossians 1 and verse 23 says, if indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast. Say that with me. Grounded and steadfast. Dear God, we need that, family. We need that. We don't need to be shook when the world is shook. We need to be, it should be automatic. I know what to do. He's a believer. I know what to do. She's a believer. We should be attracting needs because we have the answer. Isn't that true? Family, certain hope is ours. We just have to root and ground our lives on that. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, this is Colossians 1:23, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Another scripture that talks about stability is 1 Peter 1:20-21. It says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. When? Before the foundation of the world. I'm going to touch on that for a second. What God has established for you and in you was done way before you. It is so critical that we settle that. Because if we don't, we'll think we messed up so much that we don't deserve. We disqualify ourselves from the promises of God. Then the devil has us. Then he has our attention. Then he can say, yes, you did. Look what you did. Look what you said. How can you be used by God? And the moment we begin to think on and repeat what the devil is saying, we begin to give him power in our lives. You realize the only power a lie ever has over you is the power you give it. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. 1 Peter 1:21. Who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in who? No, I normally read the scripture when Paul talked about it. It's not about man's words. It's about the power of God. And I believe that with all of my heart. It'll never be about a man. It'll never be about a messenger. It'll never be about the tool that God used. It will always be about the power of God. We have to settle that. We have to depend on that. You know, last week we started this series entitled Lord of the Harvest, and our foundation text is Matthew 9, 33 through 38. Let's go there. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. The word harvest means the process or period of gathering in. Some synonyms we looked at were reaping, collecting, or bringing in. Matthew 35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Before we read on, let me ask you this question. Is it God's will to heal? Don't disqualify yourself or exclude yourself from God's plan of total redemption. Say that, total redemption. You know, the same price that Jesus paid for your salvation is the same price paid for your healing. And whatever I'm saying that, I'm saying it. I'm being obedient. Don't disqualify yourself or exclude yourself from total redemption. The blood of Jesus paid for it. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, understand what's taking place. In the middle of the meeting where things were going on, the meeting was successful. Things were happening. People were being healed. Things were happening. Jesus looked up and his heart was broken because he saw his people wearied, worn out, and scattered, not having any direction or leadership. In the midst of fruit being produced, Jesus was unsatisfied. There is something to pay attention to there. It's not about the methods. It's not about the meetings. It's about the people. They were weary. And here's the thing, family. That is not God's design. God's design for his body is strength and unity, not wearied and scattered. Family, we're better together, true or not true. The enemy wants to isolate you and I for one reason. That's to pick us off. One reason. Whenever you feel like, well, I don't feel like being around people. Whenever you begin to recoil, whenever you begin to isolate yourself, you are being led by the enemy. That's a bold statement, but it's true. Because the only reason for a sheep to go astray, for the enemy to lead a sheep astray, is to pick them off. And there's enough hurts represented in this building right now. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. True or not true? Better together. Make the decision. Stand firm. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Here's the implication. In the midst of doing good things, if we lose heart or lose hope, we will become weary and scattered, setting ourselves up to be picked off by the enemy. That's a good word. That's good. I'm just saying. That's a good word. If we understand that, if you're getting weary, how many of you got weary before? Let's make it real. How many of you got weary before? You deciding to press through overcame the devil. Every time. Every time you say, no, I'm going anyway. I'm calling anyway. I'm showing up anyway. You overcame the enemy's plan. Every time. Here's the deal. Due season. Let me prophesy over you right now. Due season. You are in the season of the harvest. Receive that. Receive that. Psalms 31:24 says, be of good courage, and the Lord shall strengthen your heart. All. That means I'm included. You guys see the scripture on the screen? All. You know what that means in the Greek? All. All you who hope in the Lord. If you choose, if you decide to hope in the Lord, guess what? Strength must come. Decide to hope in the Lord more than your background, your experience, the trial, the situation, the circumstance. You choose to hope in Him and the promise. That's the thing. See, sometimes we don't realize the Word of God is a promise. Sometimes we don't realize the Word of God cannot fail. Sometimes we don't realize the Word of God cannot return void. Sometimes we think it, look at it like a suggestion of something that could happen to somebody who's a do-good. The Word of God is true. The Word of God will benefit. It will impact you. Hope. Allow hope to rise in this place. Allow your expectation to be settled on God has my back. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Because I am with Him, it doesn't matter what I go through, I win. We've seen plenty of examples of that in the Bible. We can go through the fire and come out not smelling like smoke. We could be in harm's way. We could be with savage lions and use them as pillows. Family, open your heart and receive that. Your hope in Him produces certainty, foundation, structure. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, be of good courage. Join me in strength and unity. Say that. Join me in strength and unity. Join me in strength and unity. Y'all realize I can see you. Y'all realize I can see you, right? Y'all realize that? Y'all realize it's ATV? You realize I can see you? Everybody look at somebody and say, be of good courage. Find you somebody. There you go. Join me in strength and unity. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your participation. Let's finish up Matthew 9:37. This is our foundation text. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38 says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. I made the point last week. You know it's His desire for the harvest to come in. His harvest. You know it's His will for your loved ones to be saved, to be delivered. You know, that word save goes so far beyond fire insurance, missing hell and receiving heaven. The word save is sozo. And it means deliverance. It means peace. It means protection. And that's what this is talking about. We're talking about, and we'll get into that later. I hope you desire and decide to be a worker for the kingdom. And pray that others will do the same. Because when this happens, we will harvest a great awakening. Here's the thing, family, understand. And this is something that's mind-boggling. All God has. Now, I'm talking about the body of Christ. It's us. We are His hands and feet. Think about it like that. Isn't there a sense of urgency? I am extension of the Messiah. That's got to be our mindset. I am an extension of the Messiah. And because He's in you, you can expect what He did to manifest in your life. You can expect that. And family, what I'm asking us, asking us to rise up. I'm asking us to step out of our comfort zone and participate in harvest. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's outside of what we normally do. Dear God, do we want normal? Last thing we want, status quo, supernatural is at stake. Family, stay the course, be a worker, keep doing good. Your season is due for reaping. Let's pray a little further. Father, thank you so much for your holy written word. Father, I'm praying over my family and friends right now. I'm praying that we are stirred up. I'm praying that we begin to move out in boldness. We come to you now in unity, aligning our hearts and our voices to your plan. We choose courage. I'm asking you to strengthen our hearts today. Our hope is in you. We pray for the multitudes to come into your kingdom. We pray that strength will fill them. We pray for mending of hearts. We pray for a great awakening to spring forth across the land. We pray for workers, laborers, helpers to be overwhelmed with compassion and boldly go out into your harvest field. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are an amazing God. Thank you for your holy written word. Thank you, Lord, for truth, process, and direction. Thank you, Lord. Certain hope embraces God's love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. God's love, true love, agape, leads to action. For God so loved the world that he did something. What did he do? He gave. You know, in going over this, you know what stood out to me? True love is really determined by generosity. That's how we should measure true love. Because you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Never. Am I telling the truth? You can never separate love without giving. And it's effortless. Does it hurt you to give to your kids? Effortless. In fact, you get excited. You know why? Because that's the fruit of the Spirit being operated. Joy comes out of you when you participate with who you really are. You are a spirit. You live in a body, and you possess a soul. Who you really are, when you and I function out of who we really are, is effortless. The evidence of true love is generosity. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love, the big three. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Certain hope is based on God's promises given to us, not our feelings, wishes, opinions, or circumstances. Certain hope is not based on our ideals or thoughts, but on God's obligation to watch over his word. God is obligated to watch over his word. Can we trust God? He is obligated to you. When you align your life to God's word, God is obligated to see to it that it comes to pass. Talking about hope, That is certain hope. Hebrews 6:19 says, the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. Talking about you and I going beyond the veil. Certain hope is an anchor. An anchor soul serves two different purposes. The first one is to keep the ship from drifting away. The second purpose of an anchor is to add stability during stormy weather. 2020 was stormy, true or not true? And you know what's so powerful about the churches? And I said this before, the churches who stood firm on the word of God increased in 2020. No one can dispute that that's miraculous. Churches stopped churching in 2020. And grew. Is that not God? Word Life Church grew 40% financially in the middle of the storm. If you don't know, that's miraculous. That's miraculous. And it wasn't just us. It was every church that I know who stood firm on the word of God. You know what that's called? Certain hope. But guess what? Whatever shows up next time, as long as you and I have our anchor in the rock of ages, we're going to be all right. That's hope. Your future is as bright as the word of God. Our anchor is not in money, job security, property, reputation, or possessions. Our certain hope is in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do we do this? Application. Do you have your notes? Break them out. Application. How do we anchor our lives in certain hope? First and foremost, what's it say? Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I'll make another bold statement. God is the only one who's never lied to you. Look at husbands and wives, look straight ahead. Just keep looking straight. Just keep looking straight. Certain hope is anchored in the absolute truth that God can't lie. He's gonna make good on his promises. That's why we need to know what his promises are. So when it doesn't look like that, we know is wrong. Number two says what? Unfriend fear. A little fear is not healthy. That is a lie. Unfriend fear. Fear is the enemy's tactics. He desires to bring terror, to cause the body of Christ to go the other direction. Turn your back on fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know what that means? Every time fear shows up, it's trespassing. Every time fear shows up, it's from the enemy. Every time fear shows up, that is not of God. Amen. When you experience fear, anxiety, stress, or worry, that's not yours. Don't sign for it. I like the FedEx analogy. If FedEx drops a box off that has somebody else's name on it, guess what? Don't sign for it. That ain't yours. Fear, doubt, lack, unbelief is not yours. Don't sign for it. Don't come in agreement with it. don't tolerate it. You know what? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Don't do that. Stand firm on the truth of God's word. Number three says what? Use your power. There's power in the word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is," what's it say? "The power of God to sozo." The power of God to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to make whole. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Number, where we at? Number four says what? 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." The word that you hear is spirit, and it is life, and it lives and abides forever. That's why I am confident in the word of God. And when you and I sit under the word, something happens all the time. We are growing. We are being added to. We begin to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We begin, because the word will not return void. And God does not lie. God cannot lie. And he said the word of God will not return void. So when you and I allow the word of God to go in us, we're being added to. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Because it's the truth. If we don't honor the word of God, if we don't value the word of God, we'll misunderstand what takes place. We'll miss it, and we won't understand, this is how I get victory. This is how I get delivered. This is how I am made whole by the word of God. The word is so valuable. It's the most important thing that you and I can anchor our lives in. Amen? Keep planting seed. Use the word of God when you interact with people on a daily basis. Plant seed, plant seed, plant seed. I train a professional golfer, and is so clever the way he plants seeds. He gives out tracks, and so he gives out like free lessons, and it is so powerful because he'll give out a free lesson, and his track is his story, it's his testimony, and people look at, oh wow, this is cool. It's a professional golfer, wants to train me, he wants to interact with me, and the whole time he's planting seed. God loves you. God forgave you. And it's so awesome. And I get to see the process. And then he'll tell me, you know, so and so got born again. What? Awesome, good job. You know, and that is a great example. Because here's the thing, family. Whatever you do, you should be planting seed along the way. Don't wait to get off work to plant seed. Wherever you are, plant seed. Working on somebody, Ron, you praying for them. So, and you begin to function from another place. You begin to operate from your ascended being. You begin to get wisdom and insight that you didn't have before, but because you yielded, you said, Lord, I'm going to be a worker. I'm going to choose to advance the kingdom. Watch what happens. Watch what begins to take place. Position yourself to sell a home, and the Lord will begin to give you insight. Oh, so-and-so needs this. Pray for you. Plant seeds wherever you go. Look for opportunities. You're taking pictures from somebody for somebody. Look for opportunity. Lord, what do they need? Somebody limping. You see somebody in need. Lay hands on them. Ask them, can I pray for you? Family, I'm telling you, this is how we begin to see the great awakening. Everywhere you go, plant seed. Everywhere you go, plant seed. The incorruptible seed brings ever-living harvest, but it has to be planted. Plant the seed. Number five. take authority, bind the influence of the God of this world who tries to blind people. Oh, key. You have authority over the enemy. You can intervene. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is a proof text to that. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, who do not believe. The blinders come on when people choose not to believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Number 6, shine. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, raise your hand if you've chosen to follow him. This is speaking to you, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What an awesome promise. Jesus took sin and the shame on our behalf so we could light up the world. Isn't that awesome? He took it on our behalf. Now, go and shine. Go and choose to advance the kingdom everywhere you go. Last but not least, what's it say? Seek the kingdom first. Absolutely crucial. The Young's literal translation of Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the reign of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The reign of God, How does God reign? How does God govern? Seek how God does things. Seek to attach your life to his righteousness. What would he do? How would he handle this scenario? Here's the thing, family. When we do that, what God adds, because here's the promise, all these things shall be added to you. What God adds to you will outlive you. What that is? Legacy. God adds to you will outlive you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace, deposits, and truth impartation. I don't ever want to take it for granted. Prayer ministers, will you come up front? I don't ever want to take it for granted and assume that everyone has said yes to the forgiveness of Jesus or have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. Now, I believe that this is absolutely critical. I know it's for you. If you have yet to say yes to the forgiveness that Jesus Christ died on the cross to provide, you can. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can today. You need healing in your body. The wonderful healer has made it available today. You just want to say, you know what? I choose to be a laborer. I choose to be a worker. We would like to agree with you in prayer. If you have any prayer needs, we're inviting you at this time. Pray. No peace is for you. There's somebody who has been wrestling. And if it's you online, I want you to know that God not only loves you, but he desires to take that off of you. He desires for that pressure to be lifted. There's somebody who's been struggling with thoughts of suicide. And you can make it. You can absolutely push through this time of pressure. This is not unto death. You're going to make it through. If that's you, we want to hear from you. Give us the opportunity to pray with you. I know for certain that God will deliver those who come to him. If you're here today in-house and you're under that pressure, come forward. Allow these prayer ministers who've been trained in the Word of God to pray accurately. Come alongside and come in agreement with you. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word. We thank you. And we receive the task of praying for the harvest, praying that laborers would go forth into the harvest. We believe the great awakening is upon us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.